3, 2, Lock Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Joe Cristiano and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your radio of reason and independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday, June 3rd, 2007 in the good old United States. It is now about 8:31 Central Time. Liberty Talk Radio is your antidote to popular talk radio. Here you are expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, or Stalingrad. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Now, on to our program. Good evening, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620, and we'll take your comments while on the air. At other times, you may call 903-551-2186 to leave a voice message. Of course, you can send us email at any time to comments@libertytalkradio.com. We will try to respond to your questions during our next broadcast. In addition to accessing Liberty Talk Radio from our website, you may now access our broadcast from blogtalkradio.com/Liberty Talk Radio. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website at www.mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com. The two is a numerical two. He talks about current economic issues and how to protect your money. All right. And now, you know, I hear that bumper song, and I wonder how we're ever going to get rid of that bumper song. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Hold on, folks, just one second, please. There we go. We just got rid of the bumper song. Very good. We have more electronic gizmos here than we know that we can shake a stick at. Folks, this evening, the topic is going to be price gouging. I just wanted to complete that subject from last live broadcast and also talk a little bit about the war on terror, a new perspective or a different perspective. Now, understand that this radio program is not about current events. We will not regurgitate what you hear on the news, and we will not take issue usually with current issues that go back and forth, back and forth. We feel at this station it is imperative that we have an understanding, a good understanding of economic issues and what this country stands for or what it was intended to stand for, what our Constitution does and how it protects us, and what is going on today. We may bring in current issues such as the war on terror and the high price of gasoline. We will not take political issues per se. We will take issues as they affect our liberties, something you never hear our politicians talk about. Our politicians talk about legislation to protect us. Legislation enslaves us. We do not need the legislation of our legislators to protect us. What we need to protect us is our individual freedom. We can do very nicely protecting ourselves. Thank you. This is something that we've gotten away from over the years. This is my main concern. How is it that we arrived here on the eastern seaboard primarily and traveled across the United States, the wilderness, blazed new trails in covered wagons, and we had no EPA, no OSHA, no government funding, no handouts, and no government outposts or federal agencies to protect us doing that. You see, countries do, in fact, thrive on liberty. Now, I'm going to take a big left turn here. I'm going to deviate from what I wanted to talk about, but it fits in perfectly with this conversation. Because I didn't want to talk about the war on terror initially, but the Al-Qaeda will win this war because Al-Qaeda reminds us, us libertarians, of the way we were when we were individuals. We all took on individual responsibility for a cause or a mission, and it was very personal. And we overcame the most, which seemed to be the most insurmountable obstacles. And now we have an overbloated bureaucracy fighting against a war on terror that we cannot define, enemies that we cannot understand, all whom have this individual spirit, this individual drive. All they know is they know who their enemy is, and they'll figure a way. You know, for every dollar they spend, we must spend over $1 billion. We can't win that war. See, individual freedom prevails, always prevails. And unfortunately, Al-Qaeda is teaching us a lesson. They are individually free. They do what they want to do. Unfortunately, it's very destructive. But they're doing because they really believe in what they're doing. They have no bureaucracy. In fact, you want to know something, folks? There is no such thing as Al-Qaeda. I mean, there's no Al-Qaeda, Inc. There's no organization. It's more a fraternity, a very loose fraternity of people who are against foreign occupation of the Islamic lands, people who would like to create a service to their own cause, can call themselves Al-Qaeda and Jihad. Bingo, there they go. You see, we can't win that. We can't fight that. We don't even understand that. At one time, we did understand that when we were individuals. When this country was made up of individuals and grew from individuals, where there was no central government to speak of. There was a name, but it had no power whatsoever. And yet, we became the most powerful nation in the world. And now that we're the most powerful nation in the world, and we've centralized everything, bingo, we're sliding downhill. And of course, the answer from our government officials is more legislation. Listen to those running for office, both the Republicans and the Democrats. What do you hear? You know, if I'm elected, I am going to propose this, and I'm going to propose this, and I will ensure and enact this, and I will have an executive order doing this. More regulation. Unbelievable. And you know what? We buy it every time. And that's the demise of democracy. That's the demise of a free republic, as we are almost at one time. I have email here. This is from Aaron from Pennsylvania. Aaron writes, "You talk about allowing the market to set the price for gasoline. Gasoline has become a sort of utility like electricity to our homes. If the market sets the price, what about the poor? Those struggling to get to work? Should we tell them that it's a matter of supply and demand? Please answer on the air." Aaron, thank you for your email. That is a very, very common retort when people talk about the high price of gasoline and allowing the free market to determine what the price should be. Now, I have several questions regarding your email, and you do not have to respond to them because there really is no, and we don't know the answers. For example, when we say, "What about the poor?" who are we referring to? This sounds like someone, I mean, the person who would say this would be someone running for office and wants to get the sympathy, you know, of a block of voters. So they'll say the poor. Now, first of all, are the poor the ones that are buying most of the gasoline? Well, I would say if you're really poor, you don't own a car. So they're basically immune to the price increases because most of them are taking public transportation. Most public transportation is subsidized. And right now, the public is paying for basically people to take public transportation, both, and you don't have to be poor, middle class, and rich to get to work. So, you know, when we say the poor, let's not be collectivist and social democrats by saying, oh yeah, what about the poor? Why don't we define who the poor are? Or who the poor is, or who the poor are, I guess. I'm not sure which way is correct. But now, let's assume for a second people who are struggling just about making it, breaking even, and now the price of gasoline goes up. Right? Now, what's our alternative? Is our alternative for the government to come in and fix the prices of that gasoline? Now, let's assume that they did, and they've done this before, they've attempted to do this before, because they believed at least there was price gouging, but there's no price gouging going on. Yeah. But the government did it because it's politically expedient, it looks good, the government with a big heart, you know, protecting the poor, etc. Okay, so they come in and they say, okay, now the price of gasoline cannot exceed this particular price in this area. And they'll give a different price in every area, maybe 10% more than what it was maybe a month ago. And what happens then? Well, you see, once you cap the gas price of gasoline, what happens to the supply? Well, the supply dwindles. Once the supply dwindles, what happens to the price? Well, it naturally goes up because it becomes very scarce. Now, you'll get to a point where it gets so scarce and the price is so low that it's totally unavailable. Now, how do the poor get to work? How do the buses run? How do the trains run? How does anything run? How do shuttle buses run? Well, you see, the problem here is that once we do that, we think somehow there's a solution. Well, if that was a solution, why didn't we just do this right up front? Why have prices? Why not just have a price? The government has a price for every product. And at that point, bingo. You know, we can all afford it. Everyone's happy. There are no poor. There are no rich. Well, it doesn't work that way. It can't happen. If anything, I think we have an instant message here. Go ahead, instant message. Okay. Why don't we look at it from a different angle? If we're concerned about the poor, what about the taxes on gasoline? Why don't we tell the people, hold on a second, folks. I got something here. Oh, it just disappeared. You know, some of this computer stuff, I just don't know how to operate. I'm sorry. I've just got an instant mail. It says go to it, and it just disappears every time I go to it. Okay. If we're concerned about the poor, why doesn't the government then reduce the taxes on the poor? All right, here we go. Okay. All right. I'm going to read that instant message in a second. Okay. I got distracted. And if we're concerned about the poor, what about the taxes on income? What about forcing people to pay the FICA? If we're concerned about taxes, what about the sales taxes? What about government regulations, which reduces the incentive for oil companies to build refineries? And as a result, creating a shortage, thus increasing the price. And what about complaining about government intervention? Government intervention in the Middle East. all of those factors drive up the price of oil. But yet what we want to do is we want the oil companies to do something, but leave the governments harmless in this when the government is the one that is perpetrating the biggest fraud on the American public. All right, let's see what this says. It says here, Joe, maybe talk about how all the regulations surrounding gas and related products have eroded our personal freedoms in terms of choice of transportation. Excellent point. This is from BC Football number 10. Okay, BC Football number 10. And they've destroyed the dynamics of efficient market theory. Let's read that again. Eroded our personal freedoms in terms of choice of transportation. Folks, understand that because of our involvement in the Middle East, we are being taxed somewhere in the neighborhood, and no one knows exactly what, but the exact number. But it's been guesstimated something like $4 per gallon should be added to the price of gasoline just to pay for our involvement in the Middle East, our gigantic military presence there. $4 a gallon. Now, we don't see that as a price per gallon. We don't see the price of $3.50 plus $4 for military intervention, thus you pay $7.50. That's in our taxes. So we disassociate the taxes that we're paying, which is really an oil tax, right, from the price of gasoline. Now, if we disassociated ourselves from the Middle East and we reduced taxes proportionally, we would be paying $4 less per gasoline. In fact, we would be getting a refund of 50 cents on every gallon that we pump into our car. Think of it that way. What I don't understand, what I really don't understand, is why we don't look at the cause of a problem. And why we look at what the obvious, what the end results and who's involved, for example, like the oil companies. If the oil companies were colluding on price, if there was price gouging, why has the price of gasoline dropped in the past couple of weeks by more than 20 cents? I know in Tulsa, the price in Tulsa is one of the lowest in the nation, and we went from $3.29, it is now at $3.09. 20 cents. If there was collusion and price gouging, prices wouldn't go down. Right now, it would be $3.79. It would be $4.79, but it's going down. And we have to understand that the marketplace is taking hold. More gasoline is being placed into the system. People are driving slightly less, and it is reducing the cost per gallon of gasoline. Now, all that being aside, placing all that aside, let us take another point of view. Let us take a loaf of bread. Why don't we peg, I suggest we peg the price of gasoline to the loaf of bread or a container of milk. Now, if we did that from 1980 or 1970 on, the price of gasoline would be something like $5 or $6 a gallon. But in fact, the price of gasoline has basically stayed about the same. I just got some email that says, I disagree, demand is still going up according to DOE. You're absolutely right. The demand continues to go up. But the only way that the price can go down is if either the demand goes down or the supply goes up. I have another one that says, this is, in my opinion, a token to keep the masses calm. Okay. All right. What's important to understand is that what we have here is not intervention by the oil collusion by the oil companies. We have intervention by our own government. And our own government are the, and those people who are running to run our government are the ones that are crying foul on behalf of the poor, and those are the ones that are going to do the poor more harm. Right? And first of all, whenever the people say the poor, I'd love to have that defined. You know, I see people who are poor and they're smoking cigarettes. Cigarettes are really expensive. Now, I don't smoke. I'm not poor. Now, is there a correlation? No, there's no correlation there. Not at all. But when we say that, we say, well, what if the person would stop smoking and take that money to buy gasoline, they'd be able to go to work. That's personal responsibility. That's where we should be going and no place else. Thank you, Aaron from Pennsylvania. I read an interesting article. It's by Harold B. Jones, Jr., and it's entitled, this. By the way, this was Ideas on Liberty. I think it was from Freeman. And it says, Homeland Security, circa AD 285. It was talking about the Roman Empire. And Alex D. Tocqueville said that nothing is so threatening to individual liberty as extended war. Wars add to relative power of the central government, and this change in the balance of power is accompanied by the decline of personal freedom. A long war almost always places nations in this sad alternative, that their defeat delivers them to destruction and their triumph to despotism. He seems to have been thinking of Rome, which was destroyed less by barbarian invasions than by its own bureaucracy. Boy, the record points to the dangers in Mr. Bush's Department of Homeland Security. Do you know, folks, first of all, this war on terror is so bogus. Yes, there are people who want to inflict damage on the United States. There always has been, always will be. We didn't need a war on terror to recognize that, nor to thwart it. Here it says, vast bureaucracies stretch out in choking everything around which could get its tentacles. This is exactly what our government is doing, though. But they did the same thing. Diocletian's plan of homeland security in Rome, security was a systematic centralization. And, of course, our homeland security, folks, right now is costing in the neighborhood of $40 billion a year. And they have, well, they say they're very effective. Look, we've had no terrorist attack here, no successful terrorist attack, and we've thwarted some of them. So, you know, who's to know whether or not they've been successful? The Department of Homeland Security will get the country measured for what they say is one of the last nails in our coffin of freedom. You know, 22 federal departments will be reorganized into four divisions and provided with a budget of over $40 billion. In size, Homeland Security will be behind only Defense and Veteran Affairs. Folks, this is what we should be concerned about. We should be concerned about the centralization of government and the restriction of our freedom, where everyone is being watched. Do you remember not too long ago the there was actually a proposal for the post office, for example, personnel. If they noticed something they thought was suspicious, they would report it to the federal government, and then SWAT teams would come out and investigate that person for anything. I mean, there was no definition at all, and they dropped that really quick because that's exactly what they did in Nazi Germany, you know, in fascist Italy, and now we were doing it here. And the government would have done it if there wasn't an outrage. I mean, they would have done that. Don't get you wrong. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they would have done that if they had an opportunity to do that. And you have to understand also this gigantic bureaucracy will do one thing, and that will defend the status quo past the time when the quo has lost its status. I thought that was a cute statement. Meetings go on endlessly. Here's an example. The Federal Aviation Administration's process for picking the colors of the Denver Air Traffic Control Tower took 6 years. Now, put that in perspective with Al-Qaeda, and this is where I got that statement about Al-Qaeda being of independent individuals. It says here, what works in situations are organizations that depend on strong personal commitment and diffuse interpersonal ties. What works, in other words, are organizations like Al-Qaeda. In dealing with them, a stodgy bureaucracy cannot be expected to have much success. Department of Homeland Security will accumulate nothing more than a list of explanations for its failure to stem terrorist attacks. And I could not agree more. We must stop looking toward the federal government for solutions. There are no solutions through or by the federal government. There are only solutions of, for, and by the people. We are the ones that make or break how we do things in this country. Unfortunately, what the government is doing is it's taking the ability, our ability, to do exactly that, and it's taking it away from us. So we cannot act independently. That we must go to the government for licenses, for registration, for just about everything. You know, especially with this national ID card that they're playing with, you know, this is going to place us right back in the 1930s where, you know, comrade, may I see your papers? It's exactly where we're going. And what bothers me is I get email from people, I mean, not from the air, but from people that I know, friends, and the gist of it is, oh, but we're really a free nation. I got one the other day that said that, well, you know, when you're driving down the highway, you don't have people stopping you. You can go from New York to Pennsylvania and there's no border guards. Well, that misses the point entirely. The problem is that today someone can stop you and categorize you or classify you as an enemy combatant, take all your rights away, you can disappear, and that's the end of that. Now, that's a problem. And this is where we've gone. I think the war on terror is more to keep us in control, is for us to keep the government spending and doing what it's want for our own protection. I am convinced today that somehow, and I don't know how, somehow the government knew about the attacks on the World Trade Center on September 11th, 2001. And I think they allowed that to exist so that they can perpetrate a war in Iraq and do so with public sympathy or public approval. You see, we could not have gone to war in Iraq without some hellacious attack on us first. Now, we all know it's bogus, and I'm not going to go through that, you know, about the weapons of mass destruction, all that other crap, but there has to be some truth in these people who are walking around saying, you know, 9/11 was an inside job. Now, I don't know that to be the truth. These people may be kooks. But I do know this. Bob Bowman on his Patriot tour, he's ex-colonel, and now he's going around speaking about the, you know, our loss of freedom. He's a very interesting guy. I give him a lot of credit, a lot of respect. And I think his comment about 9/11 probably rang truer than any other comment that I've heard. And he said exactly this. The truth about 9/11 is that we don't know the truth about 9/11. And one of the aspects of a centralized government is secrecy. And that we're getting. We're getting a lot of secrecy, folks. We're getting a lot of secrecy. We're getting a lot of hidden legislation, executive orders, very similar to the monarchs in Europe. Now, how do we combat this? Well, when the elections come up, if you have an opportunity, vote for a Libertarian. If you don't want to vote for a Republican, vote for Ron Paul. There's no one else to vote for. Boy, it's almost time. Yeah, we only have about a minute and a half to go on air. Thank you for joining us this evening. We will be returning on, this is Sunday evening, we'll be returning on Thursday morning, June 7th at 6:30 a.m. Please join us there. And if you're awake and alive and kicking, please give us a call. Okay? And let me turn on our song here. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranchakers Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com, or phone in your questions to 903-551-2186. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you are striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Until next time, stay well, stay tuned.